Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on March 22nd, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And usually I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. But unfortunately, today, she will not be joining us. She's feeling a little bit under the weather, and it's not the rain because she actually loves the rain. But she has become she injured her ankle. It's not serious, I hope. It's not broken, I hope. But we wish her well, and we wish her a speedy recovery. Jackie will be back with us hopefully tomorrow, then certainly next week. But we have a very exciting show today for you, ladies and gentlemen. Our guests this morning are Jim Mueller, producer of the South Bay Stories Show, and performer Wanda Maureen Miller. Originally from Albuquerque, Jim Mueller now resides in Redondo Beach. He is known around the South Bay as a writer, producer, actor of great variety. He produced the first South Bay Stories Show in October 2015, produced and starred in the Hermosa Beach production of the Tony Award-winning play, The Gin Game, in 2012. After writing, producing, and acting in the short film, Everybody Says Goodbye, as well as the award-winning feature film, DeWitt and Maria. Jim enjoys producing, directing, and performing in numerous stage showcases with The Movers and The Shakers, Santa Monica College, and many others. He has also performed at Shrine, the Santa Monica Storytelling Show, and his story, The Kiss, was chosen as Shrine's 2014 Best of Show. Wanda Maureen Miller, known as Mo, grew up on an Arkansas farm, got an education, moved to California, and taught college English. She has published 4 books, a historical romance, The French, and 3 college textbooks. Her memoir, Last Trip Home, will be published this May by She Writes Press. The South Bay Stories Show will present 2 performances on Saturday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, March 25th at 1:30 p.m. at the Second Story Theater in Hermosa Beach. And this morning, Jim and Wanda are going to explain what attendees can expect. Jim and Wanda, welcome to the South Bay Show.
Well, hello,
Joe. You,
Joe. Good morning.
Good
Thank
morning.
Thank you for having
you
us.
You both. Well, I'm thrilled to have you both, and it's a wonderful morning in Southern California, but it's not sunny like everybody around the world thinks. It's not 70 degrees and sunshine. It's raining today, but boy, we need the rain. We just don't need too much of it all at the same time.
Yes, right, we're suffering greatly.
Yes.
It's welcome.
It is welcome. So I want to start with you, Jim. This is a has been a labor of love for you for, you know, many years, and we have it scheduled that you started in 2015. Tell us a little bit about the history of the South Bay Stories show.
Yes. Well, I fell in love with storytelling, and as I talk to my friends, many people have fallen in love with storytelling. In fact, they tell me about driving in their car, listening to the Moth Radio Hour or This American Life, and a story is so captivated them that they stay in their driveway even after they've arrived home just to hear the end of a story. And I have noticed that people really love that sort of thing, a personal story told about a person. And so I've kind of come up with a motto for or a theme for my show, and that is when the community hears the stories of the people, the community draws closer. And I found that to be, when you hear a person's story, you feel closer to them because most people share the common experiences, common emotions, and have common hopes and dreams. So when you hear somebody else's story, you feel much closer to them, and I feel that the community will be closer the more we hear each other's stories. So that's it. Now, this is the fourth South Bay Story show, and so we have many happy memories of the stories that have been told in the other three, and we're looking forward to an exciting show and a compelling show and very entertaining. That's another thing we strive for, is to make the show entertaining.
There's nothing about there's nothing about what we do as humans, whether it be social, political, when we make war, when we make love, there's nothing about what we do that isn't intimately involved with the act of storytelling. There's a famous book by Jonathan Gottschall. That's G-O-T-T-S-H-A-L-L. Jonathan Gottschall, called The Storytelling Animal: How Stories Make Us Human. It's pretty much guaranteed that the story came first and then the human followed.
That's so wonderful.
It's wonderful. It's been a touchstone of mine for many years. And so, Jim, that's the thing, though. We don't have a lot of places to go and to see human beings telling a story. I mean, our families tell us stories, our neighbors and friends tell us stories, but when it comes to that boob tube, you just there's no getting away from it. There's no humanity to it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of information and entertainment that comes from television and movies on television, but there's nothing like a human being in front of you, or a collection of human beings in front of you telling the story. Why do you think that is, Jim?
It's because people respond to other people, not just their story, but their physical being. When you are with someone, you look into their eyes, you see their gestures, you see their aliveness. And at the South Bay Story Show, we really strive to remove all of the barriers between the audience and the storyteller. To Mo's chagrin, there's no podium. There's no microphones because the theater is very small and people can hear. It's just the person standing up there in front of you telling their story, and you can see them very well. And you can capture in your imagination their emotion, and a bond is formed by that. So I think that makes our show unique, is that we don't put any obstacles at all between the storyteller and the listener. And that's what I mean by getting involved and emotionally connected with the person telling the story. And it's quite compelling when it's done that way.
Oh, my God. Wanda Maureen Miller, there's nowhere to hide.
I negotiated. I begged. I threatened to be naked telling the story. But he did not yield. He did compromise. And he promised me a stool, just a stool or a chair, so that I could put my snot rag on it in case I'd have to blow my nose.
Yeah. Maureen?
There's nothing more intimate. There will be nothing more intimate in the show, Joe, than Wanda Maureen stopping her story to blow her nose.
Yeah.
That'll be the best part of the show.
So, Wanda, when you began your journey, you began on an Arkansas farm. Tell us about life on an Arkansas farm as a young girl.
Well, it was Spartan and isolated. My first home was a three-room sharecropper shack right below my grandfather's house. And then above his house was a dirt road. So we were really in the woods and meadows and fields with no electricity and no running water, obviously no indoor toilet. And then my father had a falling out with my grandfather, and we upgraded to a four-room sharecropper shack, also belonging to my grandfather, but further away. And life improved a little bit in that we got electricity. That's what my story is about that I will be telling this weekend. We never did get an indoor toilet, not till long after I left home. But I had the worst part was I had a really domineering, sometimes cruel father. And I had to struggle against him. Probably my biggest challenge this weekend telling my story will be letting the shell down, letting the wall down that I had to build up in order to escape. So that will be difficult. But I'll try not to let Jim down. Maybe I can take it.
Oh, Mo, I'm so glad you agreed to tell your story, Mo, because it's a great story, and you are a fabulous person. People will, as soon as people see you and they get that sparkle of mischief in your eyes, they fall in love with you.
Thank you, Jim.
when you grew up, you got an education. Where did you get your major education before moving to California?
The closest town, Magnolia. There was a little college there, Southern State College. It's now a university. But since I married and had to drop out after a semester to have my child, and then left my husband, I had to work my way through school, so I started out working in a factory, stamping numbers on piles of material, and then worked my way up to being a secretary, and I had national defense loans. Then eventually I got a teaching assistantship at the University of Arkansas in the northern part of the state, so I got my master's there. So I had the education before I left. That helped.
Yeah.
But it took a long time.
Yes.
It took about 10 years.
Well, so many women can relate to that story of being a single mother and being the sole breadwinner and then finding a way to raise their station of life, and but through education, through achievements in business. So then what's the next chapter? Why California?
I wanted to get as far away from Arkansas as I could without falling in the ocean. That appealed to me because of Hollywood and all the glamour. Not that I had any glamour, but I think I had an ex-college roommate here that so that I wasn't totally alone. And I also came out with the man who became my third husband. Again, I wasn't totally alone then. And I was not able to get a teaching job right away. I had to work as a secretary again. Then I got two part-time teaching jobs, and I started to publish. And I was able to get a full-time teaching job at El Camino College. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was when I retired.
Wow. Well, we love El Camino College. The ability to go to a 2-year university has been something that has really changed a lot of lives. How long were you teaching at El Camino?
Oh, gee, I was afraid you had asked me a number. 30 years, maybe.
Really?
Counting the part-time.
Wow.
Yes.
You were really committed to the community college.
I said that number could be wrong. I get numbers wrong a lot. I'm good with punctuation and grammar, but I'm number impaired.
Okay. So when we talk about storytelling, what do you think? And it says that most people call you Mo when they get to know you. What do you think, Mo, that storytelling gives you and in turn gives the audience?
I think it makes people feel human because they relate. I always thought, well, no city person is going to relate to me because my life was so different and I hid it mostly. I got rid of the accent, partly so I could get a job teaching, but I can still talk Arkansas if you want me to. My daddy used to call me the Queen of Anglin anytime I tried to get out of my place. But I had to get rid of that in order to be accepted as a college English professor. But I noticed that when I go back into it, that it makes people feel comfortable with me and like me. And that was a shock. So what I've learned is that when I take down the shell, that most people accept me. And that was a surprise.
I know many, many, many famous people are from Arkansas or from, I'm thinking of a famous actress who is from Kentucky. I'm going to think of her name in a minute and everybody's going to laugh at me. But because it is a place to be from that isn't it isn't part of the glamorous American story, but it is a part of the American story. And when people connect with it, they do connect with the sort of the story of their mothers and fathers, their grandmothers and grandfathers, and they hear something familiar in your story. So give us a little taste of what we're going to hear on Saturday and Sunday. Give us a little taste of what it's like to be there listening to you. What are we going to be hearing?
It's about the day my family got electricity. When my daddy turned on the light, the little light bulb on the top of the ceiling, and I saw him, and I saw something in him, kind of a lustful gleam in his eye. And I saw the grease on the windows and the cracks in the walls, and it changed the way I saw the house in a bad way. But it also opened up the world to me because I didn't have to hide under the covers reading books with a flashlight. I could actually read in our front room, and that made all the difference, that I could read about other worlds, and I wanted those worlds. So it helped me develop my vocabulary and have a sense of grammar. I noticed how sentences were punctuated, and all of that helped me. So I saw some things that scared me and discouraged me, and I saw some things in the book, certainly, that inspired me and prepared me.
Jim, I have always found that, people that are sort of grown up in very sort of easier circumstances or more familiar common circumstances don't relate as much to the we versus them. But I think it seems like, you know, I certainly, Wanda, and certainly my experience coming from Black Chicago, the story that I tell about Chicago is before I was 10 or 11 years old, never left the neighborhood. I never saw white people in person. I mean, the cops were black. The mailman was black. The street sweeper was black. Everybody I saw were black people. I didn't even know what it was like to be around white people. I thought that was a strange experience. And the language is different. It's like being in two different worlds, and I'm sure Mo can relate to that.
Yes,
Jim,
definitely.
Mo? It's people don't understand. It's like being half Vulcan, half human and half Vulcan. Right? You relate to that?
Yes,
one,
a foreign,
Mo?
Like a foreign.
The
a
idea
foreigner.
Of being in a different world, but inside you have a world that people can't see and don't know about.
Right. Very astute of you. That's completely true for me. By the way,
Joe.
Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's interesting because now I'm interested in your story, and maybe you will be on my story show next year. I wanted to say that because I meet my storytellers by accident mostly. In fact, Mo and I met in a writer's group totally by accident. I didn't know she was going to be there. She didn't know I was going to be there. But when she started telling her story in the way she tells it, I was fascinated, and I wanted the community to hear that story. And that's the way it is with most of my storytellers, is I meet them by accident, or maybe they've come to a show and they write to me and they say, I'd like to tell my story on your next show. I don't go out and try to recruit, professional storytellers or what have you. These are people who are from the community, and most of them are from the South Bay specifically and the towns around it. So I'm not going to be imposing on people with an actor who's putting on a show. No, these are real stories, and the person who is standing in front of you telling the story is the person who experienced those experiences. And that's what the right. South Bay Story Show is all about.
Right. When you produce the show now, you're wearing three hats at the same time. You're the producer, you're the director, you're the casting director. You want them, though, to be successful, so you must want them to have some concept of structure to their storytelling so that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, right?
Yes. In fact, I am not the director. I am partnered with Tony Teresi, who is a very experienced stage director. And I wanted to do that just for the very reason you were talking about, Joe, and that is to help people who don't have stage experience get up and tell their story in a way that will reach the audience and will be entertaining, and also to help them feel more comfortable. And one of the things that we do is to take away one of the biggest obstacles for people who aren't experienced on the stage, and that is memorization. So when a person gets up at the South Bay Story Show to tell their story, they have a script in hand, and we've helped them polish the script so that their story is real, but at the same time, it's a stage presentation, it's theater. And I decided to do that because, first of all, if you've been to many casual story shows, you can find that people, when they get up in the microphone, they start out with a great story, but then they start to go off into the weeds. They get in trouble. They're rambling. They're going off on tangents. And you can see that they're not having a good experience. So what I want to do is I want to have my storytellers have a great experience, as well as the audience having a great experience listening to their story.
Well, of course. Now, tell us a little bit about that process, though, because you know one of the things about storytelling is knowing where you are in your story. You know, having a sense of your place. Many people talk about that. Stand-up comedians talk about that one experience where you're a stand-up comedian and you're about to go out on stage. You're going to be out there for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, and you forgot all your material. you can't even remember where to start.
Exactly.
How do you help someone through that?
You just struck fear in my heart.
Well, no. Mo, calm down. It's going to be all right. Don't worry. Listen, no, Joe, when they come out on stage, they have their script in hand. And what we teach them, part of what Tony teaches them, is how to do a cold reading. And people who know about acting know what a cold reading is. Cold reading is where you go to an audition, they throw a script at you, and you have to read these unfamiliar words at the same time you're being an actor and getting into the character. And so there are techniques of how to do that. So my storytellers have all been coached by Tony on the techniques of cold reading, so that they're able to have the script in hand and tell their story in a very natural way that's comfortable for them, but yet not have to worry about forgetting the words. And so, another thing that helps them out is we kind of impose a time limit of 8 minutes. So the time that they have to stand out there, that each storyteller has to stand out there and tell their story and be uncomfortable or whatever they're feeling, is limited. So that helps them feel more comfortable too.
It does help to know that I won't be suffering more than 8 minutes. And that the audience won't be suffering. Joe, I have to say that I'm really interested in your background too. And there are several stories that Jim would not let me tell, like the time my daddy shot my brother's dog for sucking eggs out from under a setting hen. He would not allow me to tell that story. But the other story that kind of fits your story is that my first husband was in the Klan. He wasn't when I married him, and I didn't have a whole lot of choices. I think he joined the Klan to piss me off, because I had different views from him. And when I left him, I burned his Klan sheet. And I think that's a good story, but Jim didn't go for it. he thought his audience was too delicate to hear it.
Oh, my
definitely.
God. That's so interesting.
You can slip that in, Mo. I would, you know, I can't stop you. Once you get up on the stage is completely yours.
That's true. I could just drop the whole electricity story.
I'm sorry.
Scrap the whole story and tell about how you burned your husband's Ku Klux Klan sheet. That would be terrific.
That might be too much for the audience, especially I have dialogue in it, and he called me a nigger lover all the time. So maybe your audience. Oh yes. Oh yes.
Oh.
Right.
But his own wife, though. Why would he even promote that with you? He would have been trying to get you out of that.
Oh well, he was not a smooth, sophisticated man. He didn't use the best techniques with me. He got angry and he showed it. And he was angry that I had different views for him. He didn't want me to watch Jack Parr on television because Jack Parr sometimes had black people.
I don't think that people, where we are here in Southern California is far away from Chicago, from Arkansas. People don't want to believe that there is places where people don't want other kinds of people coming in, right? My wife is from Oklahoma. My wife is from a small town in Oklahoma. I won't say the name right now, but the bottom line is, the town used to have a sign, "No niggers after dark," on the road. It was like, don't even come here after dark. Don't even think about it. And it wasn't something, strangely enough, Mo, and people can't understand this either. It wasn't that they were trying to be mean. They were thinking, well, it's not safe. So if we put it on the street sign on the road coming into town, people won't come in after dark, and there won't be any problems. That's how they were thinking about it.
Yes, I believe that. I knew boys, young men, who played a game called nigger knocking, and they would drive along the road, and if there was a black person walking along the road, they would bump him with the car. So the black people learned to cross the ditch and go to the other side whenever a car came along. I found that my relatives were a little bit more compassionate, maybe because they worked alongside them. There were blacks mixed into the community. I think perhaps from my great-grandfather's sharecroppers. When he came to Arkansas, he brought a few slaves with him. So there wasn't that cruelty as much, just the absolute conviction that they were like animals and rather than equals. But I saw a different way.
Right.
I was actually influenced by Eisenhower. And I was influenced by what I heard on the radio once I got electricity.
Right. Jim,
well, Joe, I wanted to tell a little bit about the shows that people can enjoy.
Hold on, Jim. Hold on a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do a little station break. And then we'll get into that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. Right here in Southern California, we have a lot of great storytelling. Of course, Hollywood is not far from us, but we're in the South Bay and talking about the South Bay Stories show. There are going to be some great performances coming up on Saturday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. at the Second Story Theater in Hermosa Beach at the Civic Center. And then Sunday, March 25th at 1:30 p.m. at the Second Story Theater in Hermosa Beach at the Community Center on Pier Avenue. You do not want to miss these performances. They're going to be wonderful and raw and real, and please do attend. And we're going to continue the conversation. Jim, tell us about what we're going to hear about.
Yes. Well, we'll have 8 storytellers. Plus, we're going to have a musical storyteller because music and storytelling have sort of evolved together from the very earliest times that human beings have been human beings. And so our musical storyteller this time is named Chase Jackson. And Chase Jackson plays the vibes. And he's a jazz musician and a composer. Now, when I tell people I'm going to have the vibes as the musical storyteller, they say, "What is that?" And so I try to explain to them, it's like a xylophone. And Chase, when I told that to Chase, he just went, he went ballistic. He said, "Don't call it a xylophone," because he feels that the vibes came from an instrument called the marimba, which is a South American, Caribbean type of instrument. I think it grew up there. That's used in that type of music. And so Chase Jackson will be playing a musical story on the vibes. And I think that will be very exciting. Plus the eight storytellers for about 8 minutes each. A few are shorter and longer. And I did want to tell you about how I've tried to encourage people to think a little bit more broadly about the South Bay Story Show. And so what I've done is I've named each performance. For example, the Saturday night performance, I'm calling it date night, because it would be great if people got their date and had dinner before the show down on Pier Avenue, some of the great restaurants, maybe looked at the sunset a bit at the beach, and then came up at 7:30 to the Second Story Theater right there on the corner of PCH and Pier Avenue to see the South Bay Story Show. And then they can go home and do whatever they feel like doing, which maybe that's going to be something romantic. Who knows? And then the 1:30 Sunday performance we're calling Post Brunch, because a lot of people like to go out for a late breakfast on Sunday, which they call brunch. And what they can do is have a nice brunch, maybe stroll along the oceanfront a little bit, and then come up at 1:30 and see the wonderful South Bay Story Show. But the performance that we have added, we've added a third performance this time, and we're calling the Weekender. And the Weekender is a performance that starts at 4:30. And so about 6 o'clock, the show ends. And so what we're suggesting people do is, again, stroll down Pier Avenue, have a nice dinner at one of the wonderful restaurants, go down to the beach and enjoy the sunset. And that'll cap off a perfect weekend for them. So I'm hoping that they will take my advice and enjoy the Weekender performance of the South Bay Story Show.
And that's at 4 on Sunday?
4:30.
4:30 on Sunday is the Weekender.
That's called the Weekender, yeah. And it'll get out just about the time the sun is going down at the beach. And, of course, the restaurants are starting to fill up a little bit, and it'll be a very lively environment for them down there at the in Hermosa. So it's a wonderful idea of how to have an evening or an afternoon out and enjoy the culture, not only culture, but all of the delights that Pier Avenue along Hermosa, in Hermosa, offer for people.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Maybe we should add a television to the show at the end and show the Stormy Daniels interview on 60 Minutes so we don't lose anybody for that.
Oh, don't worry about it. Yes, that's right. They could go. No. They could go home at 6 o'clock. I think that's when 60 Minutes comes on. They'll be out in time to go home and turn on their TVs if they want to do that.
No.
But I think it's more fun to go down Pier Avenue.
Okay. Are you kidding me, Mo? You're saying Stormy Daniels
no.
is going to be on 60 Minutes this weekend?
Yes. Yes.
And she's going to tell all.
That's the rumor. Yes.
Wow. Wow. I think you know, more exciting than anything for me is the fact that somehow it leaked out that President Trump was given a talking point in his conversation with Vladimir Putin, but in bold capital letters, "Do not congratulate."
Yes.
And he did it anyway.
Yep.
That is the most fascinating to me.
Right. Very fascinating. Well, maybe I can get my next show, I can get Putin to come and tell his version of it.
Excellent.
That's
Excellent.
Stormy Daniels.
I will send if somebody can translate into Russian for me, maybe I'll send him a letter. But anyway, but there are plenty of stories in the South Bay. I'm not worried that I'm going to run out of stories, believe me, because like I say, a lot of people I meet randomly, and they have a good story. It's amazing what people have experienced. That's what's so interesting to me. People have great stories to tell. Sometimes they don't know exactly how to tell them, or they don't feel confident about getting up on the stage. And Tony and I, that's what we're all about, is to try to encourage people that you do have an interesting story. It's a story that an audience would love to hear, and you can stand up in front of the audience and tell the story. That's our whole job for the South Bay Story Show. And it really works. The last three have been increasingly successful, and I'm really happy about that. People talk to me all the time about, I went to the show and I heard this particular story. It's very interesting how people relate to the stories. Because one person will come up and say, that story about Arkansas was my favorite story. And other people will come up and say, no, the story about the Vietnam veteran, that was my favorite story. Everybody has a different way they connect to people. And some people will connect one way, and other people will connect a completely different way. So that's another thing that's interesting about having a variety of stories. I think sometimes we focus on the star. You know, we want to have the star talk to us all the time. But, no, I think it's much more interesting to have a variety of people talk to you.
Now, Maureen, we have a special sort of opportunity. I want to talk to you about a book that you've written that's going to be published, I guess it's going to be published this May. Can you talk a little bit about last trip home?
Okay. Just writing it was a trip home, believe me. I started writing it in 1988, the stories. So I was writing these stories while I was teaching full time and writing and publishing the four other books, two of which went into five editions. So I had to just sneak it in, a little bit like reading under the covers with a flashlight. And then, I wasn't sure I could publish it. I wasn't sure I could make it public because it was so personal. It just tore my guts out. So it was cathartic to write. And then just to make it saleable, I had to cut it. I had about 3,000 pages, so I cut it to, I think it's down to 350-something pages. And I centered it mostly on the 1940s and 50s, about growing up, getting the education, fighting free of my father and the Klan husband. I put it in a framework of California and my living with the man that I ended up with, a very nice, stable doctor who has Parkinson's now. But I didn't put that in the book. But the framework is in California. When I hear about my father's death, and I'm glad, and I go back for the funeral, and then there's a flashback to chronological order of early 1940s up through when I came to California, and I had to keep going back to try to help out my mother, who got Alzheimer's, and my sister, who was handicapped. So it's mostly about the reality of living there and the struggle to save myself. And also it's about the guilt of escaping and not being there for my mother and my sister. My older brother also got out. He went as far east as he could to Florida without falling in the ocean. And I just, he's the only one left in the family who's still alive. So I protected his adult life by not including that in the story. And I may or may not publish another one, but I'm inclined not to, and to leave it at this. I just got the rights back to The French, my first novel, and I might rewrite that, might make it into series three. But
I smell a movie coming, a movie deal.
By the way, it's funny you should mention about actors and famous people from Arkansas. I wrote Billy Bob Thornton. He grew up in a town called Malvern, that my second husband was from. And I wrote him and told him that I'd like for you to be my daddy. I offered him the opportunity of writing the screenplay and playing my father in the movie, but I haven't heard from him.
Okay. Well, son is published at death. They're waiting till the right moment.
Probably, yes. I thought I might reach out to Oprah also because of the Maya Angelou connection. When she went to live with her grandmother, that was about 30 or 40 miles from where I grew up. And I've often thought, gee, I wish I had known her. I just wish I had known her. We had so much in common. Anyway, I thought I might use that connection to connect to Oprah. If you know Oprah, be sure and tell her about me.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. this is wonderful. I mean, Mo, we're at a time and a place where people are trying to get more connected to not just their own story, but some real stories from other people. They want to hear real stories. I have to say, Jim, when you think of extending what you do, the South Bay Stories show, it's not just about more shows, about more actors and actresses or more storytellers, but have you thought about showing this on Facebook or something, doing a video presentation of the live performance so more people can participate and share in the experience?
Well, yes, I did. I videoed it last year when I did the show, and I didn't do a very high quality video, and so I didn't feel I should put it on the net. But now this year, I engaged a film student named Sophie Katona, and Sophie made a promo video for me, which lasts about 3 minutes. Mo is in it, by the way. And you can go to our website, SouthBayStoriesShow.com, and see the promo video. And you can also buy tickets at that website. So I encourage people to do that, to see what Mo looks like, because she's really cute. And
the promo convinced me that I needed to get a facelift before the show, but it's a little late now.
Yeah. So now, one of the things, Joe, is I don't try to make a profit off this show, because I want it to be accessible to people. I want people to feel that they can come and, you know, it's affordable. So I don't have a lot of money, and I did check out a professional video outfit to come and shoot the show, but they wanted so much money to do it that I just couldn't afford
it. How much did they want?
Well, they wanted $500. And
I'll do it for half.
Really?
Of
course. If you're serious, I would love that. I would love it. Yes, do it. You're right.
Weekend.
I want people to. It's this
not
coming
this
weekend.
Weekend.
You're free.
I'm booked. No, I'm sorry. Not this coming weekend. I am booked. But from now on, we're going to get these online, and we're going to get them. Permanent records of them, because that makes them all the more cherished to be able to share it with friends and family all over the country or the world. If we can get them online, they'll live forever. So we're going to do that. We have to do that, Jim.
All right, I'm for that. And if you happen to know any other filmmaker or person who's willing to do it, I'd be very receptive. They can email me at southbaystories@gmail.com, and I will be very happy. I'm willing to pay them something, but the $500 was too much. The theater, by
right.
the way, the Second Story Theater, has a maximum capacity of about 100 people. So,
right.
We want that kind of atmosphere, so it's very intimate. But unfortunately,
right.
we can't sell many tickets, so
there
are limitations.
There are.
But I appreciate your offer. I'm going to remember that, Joe. I'll remember that. I'll be back.
I'll be
back to you.
I know.
And Jim,
if
you will postpone the show until I can get a facelift, I will give you the $500 for that video person for this year.
Yeah. Oh, Mo, you don't need a facelift. You're gorgeous. People, go on my website, SouthBayStoryShow.com. See the video, and you'll see how beautiful Mo is.
False advertising.
What you said is false advertising, huh?
Right. Yeah. Where did you see all the wrinkles? Jim has a smooth tongue.
Well, you
now,
know,
one,
you know
Joe,
what,
one thing.
You know, I'm
Joe,
sorry,
I was
Maureen,
gonna,
you know
I was
what,
say.
Well, hold on, Jim. Hold on, Jim. You know what, Maureen,
yeah.
you know what people say about those wrinkles? She earned
yeah.
every one. She earned
well,
every
true.
One.
That's true.
That's
I
true.
I should have even more if that's the case. But
you
don't get a lot of rewards for wrinkles.
No, they just,
I don't
they
have
just,
people coming up to me and saying, "Man, I wish I had your wrinkles."
Well, that's just our culture. That's our culture is obsessed with youth
yes.
and obsessed with a young face.
That's one of the drawbacks, of course, for this area.
But that would not be true, Mo. That would not be true in many parts of Europe and certainly many parts of Asia. They respect and revere age, and it's not gone away. It's not fading. with time, it is something that is still alive and well, that in many Asian cultures, they truly, truly respect age and wisdom as
so
they...
Joe, I have to relocate at my age and adjust again. I'll just have to accept the wrinkles, I think.
Okay. All right. Now, Jim?
And Joe, you know... another thing that if people go on to my website, the SouthBayStoryShow.com, and look at the promo video and CMO, they will learn something about Arkansas cuisine. And so I learned from Mo that one of the delicacies of Arkansas is fried squirrel. And so,
yeah.
Mo says that she has not lost her taste for fried squirrel. Have you, Mo?
No. I long for it almost every day, especially the brains. My brother and I used to fight over the skull. And when I got it, I would lick it, the batter off it, crack it, and eat the brains. And it's one of the best things I've ever eaten, besides maybe fried oysters. Similar taste.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
I didn't know squirrels had that big a brain that you could actually eat it.
They don't.
It's a delicacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you don't ever forget the taste.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Well, yeah. There's many more things I'm sure of Arkansas cuisine that we can learn from Mo.
Wow.
Probably.
Now, Jim, we've got about 3 minutes, and so I want to make sure that everyone has the contact information to get in touch with you, and then they will give them the information about the performances. So first, let's go through contact information, Jim.
Okay, yes. I appreciate it when people email me directly at southbaystories@gmail.com. And I really respond to people's email. Now, as I said a couple of times, we have a website, SouthBayStoriesShow.com, and they can buy tickets on that site. If that's too complicated for them, they can go to a site called buybuytickets.at/DMScreenplay. And buy tickets there. We're also on Facebook, Facebook/ South Bay Story Show. And also Twitter, S Bay Stories Show is our at sign there. So a number of ways to get in touch with us, and to they can also just show up at the theater, the Second Story Theater, 710 Pier Avenue in Hermosa Beach, right at the corner of Pier Avenue and PCH, and enjoy the show at 7:30 on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 24th, and then on Sunday at 1:30, the 25th, and the Weekender at 4:30 on the 25th. So lots of ways to get in touch with the South Bay Story Show.
Absolutely. And Wanda Maureen Miller, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about you and your book, Last Trip Home?
Oh, dear. I don't know that I want them to. I do want them to buy the book. I need the money.
Right.
So they can pre-order the book now on Amazon.com. That would be the best way.
Right.
I was persuaded to write a monthly blog, and I've written some really personal and insulting stuff on that if they want to know about me personally. It's WMOMILLER.WordPress. That's WORDPRESS.com. And I'm trying to set up a website. I'm not really technical enough to do that. That's in the process. My significant other's grandson is trying to help me set it up, but I haven't been able to do it yet. But the blog on WordPress.com is probably the best. And I'm on Facebook.
Well, thank you very much. We're gonna wrap it up. And Jim Mueller, producer of South Bay Story Show, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much, Joe, for having us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
And Wanda Maureen Miller.
Yes.
It was a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
And you were a pleasure, an unexpected pleasure, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. And everyone out there, Jackie will be back soon. Never fear, Jackie will be back soon. So as I always say, thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Jackie.
Our best to Jackie.
And yes, of course.
Thank you,
of course,
Jackie.
Our best to Jackie. And we hope she will heal and her ankle is not too severely sprained, certainly not broken, we hope, and that she gets healthy soon. So that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.